Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
If you have your New Testaments, brethren, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to read to you a very, very familiar account. I suppose that even many of the children here could tell us even the details of that which is recorded for us in Luke 10, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. There are just so many lessons that have rightfully been drawn from this teaching of Jesus Christ, the story of the Good Samaritan. In answer to the question, and I think we certainly should spend just a moment, the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, is the most important question anybody could ever ask. And the lawyer was certainly to be commended for raising that kind of question. And Jesus certainly explained to him when he asked the question, Who is my neighbor? Who our neighbor is. Those that are in need, when we are able to help them, they are our neighbor. And Jesus commended this Samaritan because of his manifestation of the compassion that he had toward one who was less fortunate than he. But the lawyer, of course, was asking a question with impure motives. People don't always ask questions for information's sake. What people's motives are for asking questions, we'll have to leave that between them and God. But it is obvious from even this report here, all questions are not asked with a sincere or a good motive. This man asked this question, Who is my neighbor, in order to justify himself. Now, I want us to focus on the story of the Good Samaritan. And tonight, look at it in this light. Here we have in this story, as I said, so many lessons, but we have three views toward life demonstrated for us. Or we might look at it again, three attitudes toward possessions, or the things that we say that we have and that we own in this life. Of course, we're religious stewards, but three attitudes toward those things. Now, the story was very plain and simple, and I'm sure the people there could readily understand. A man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and literally he would go down because Jerusalem was of higher sea level than Jericho. He was going down a very dangerous and hazardous path, a roadway that was just very conducive to robbery, very conducive for people to hide. People would fall victims to those who would take advantage of them. And this is what happened to this individual. He was on his way, tending to his own business. He fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him. They took what he had. They departed. They left him half dead. Didn't care whether he lived or died. Now the robbers had a philosophy of life. Their philosophy was simply this: what's yours is mine, if I can get it, and if I can take it. There were no rules to follow, according to them. Whatever they wanted to do, why, that was within bounds as far as this particular philosophy of life was concerned. All of us would agree these people were brutal. They had no compassion or consideration for their fellow man. They had no respect for another human being. They had no respect for his property. They lived according to the attitude, might makes right. That whatever I am capable of doing, regardless of anybody else, why, it's perfectly all right to go ahead and pursue what I want to do. It's an outlook that certainly places a tremendous amount of importance, doesn't it, on possession. And it is a manifestation of one's own selfishness. Well, it is known by all of us that there be many people today who do have this philosophy of life. Certainly those who would rob, who would steal, those who would take things that do not belong to them, those that would take advantage of someone else and exploit them, that certainly is a manifestation of this same philosophy. What's yours is mine. If I can get it, and in any way I can get it, why, it's perfectly all right. Now, most of us here tonight, and I say most of us because you never know who might be here, but most of us would not fall into the category of a robber or a thief or someone that would deliberately take that which belonged to somebody else. But brethren, we are sometimes, if we're not careful, if we go about our business affairs, go about things in life, take unfair advantage of people, are not honest in our dealings with people, cheat people, take things on the job that do not belong unto us, do not do as we ought to do toward other people. And then there's another way that we can take something very precious to other people that we ought not take, and that is to rob them of a deserving good reputation. Now, you're not going to mar their character. They're the only ones that can mar their character. You're the only one that can mar your own character. But we can steal from the other person what would otherwise be a justified good reputation. And when we lie or when we gossip about them in some way or fashion, maybe born of jealousy or envy, why, that is just as much taking from that person something that rightfully belongs to him as if you stole his purse. In fact, it's even worse than stealing the purse. Because when you steal another person's good name, you don't get the good name yourself. You've just robbed him of something that belongs to him. It's a tragedy that there be many people who, obviously in our world, are so covetous of the material things of this life that they would resort to the activity in which this man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho fell. And they were these robbers and thieves, and they took what they wanted. But it seemed, at least for the moment, that the circumstances about this traveler changed, and he might have good fortune because there were two other travelers that came in different periods down that same road. One was a priest, one was a Levite. Both of them were religious leaders. And you would expect the very best from those who were religious leaders. After all, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the Lord teaches us that very truth in Luke 12 and verse 48. Well, here comes the priest. What does he do? He sees the man, but for reasons unrevealed to us, he just ignores him. He goes by on the other side, proceeds on down the road, tending to his own business, so to speak. Here comes the Levite of the priestly tribe also, and he acts in a similar fashion. They manifest a little bit different philosophy of life, a little bit different attitude toward their possessions. Whereas the robber and the thief had the attitude that what's yours is mine if I can take it, their attitude was what's mine is mine and I'll just keep it. And this is what they did. Now both of them manifest an attitude of selfishness. Both of them were most concerned about themselves. Evidently, The priest and the Levite had either never heard of or had never learned what we call the golden rule of doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. Evidently, they had never learned the answer to the question that Cain raised when God approached him following Cain's murder of Abel. Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And friend, from the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation, one of the themes of God's information to us is, yes, we are our brother's keeper. We do have responsibilities and duties and obligations toward people that are around us. In fact, Jesus wasn't he teaching that very thing? When he was giving answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" and showing that one who was the neighbor was the one who lent assistance to the one who was in need. Obviously, the priest and Levite had failed to learn that. They might, too, have been laboring under the false impression under which maybe many of us could possibly labor. And that is to realize that what we have is not really our own at all. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, Psalms 24 and verse 1. And anything that we say that we own, to which we may have a legal title or something like that, in reality, we never have absolute ownership. You may have a home that's paid for, you may have a car that's paid for, you may have other possessions, but really, they're just on loan to you for a while. And it won't be very long that as you came into this world, so you shall go out. You came in with nothing and you're going out the very same way. And all of that which you call your own is going to belong to somebody else. It's not really yours. It's not really mine. We are stewards. We are mere caretakers. We have these things entrusted to us. And brethren, as is true in the stewards of the Bible, we shall give an account unto God for how we use what God has entrusted to our care here in this life. And it's important, not only how we acquire material things, but our attitude toward material things and our disposition and use of material things. Because the material things that come within our power are not really ours. They belong unto God and they should be rightfully used. Well, these men had obviously not learned that. They still had this disposition. What's mine is mine and I'll keep it. Is it not possible that this is an attitude that certainly is more susceptible, or we're more susceptible to falling into that than we are possibly being a robber or a thief or something of that nature? But we just withhold what we have, even though somebody else may be in need. We do not have compassion on them sufficiently to lend assistance. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now John is not saying here, don't tell God you love him. But he's saying, more important than just telling God you love him, you show God you love him. And how do we show God that we love him? Why, we show God we love him by being compassionate and lending assistance and sharing what he's entrusted to us and to our care with those who are less fortunate and those who are lacking and those who are in need. It's not a proper disposition toward life. It's not a proper attitude toward possessions to have the attitude, what's mine is mine and I will keep it. Well, there are two deplorable attitudes that we've seen, but then there comes the third that is demonstrated in the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, traveling the same way as the others, he saw the man upon which ill fortune had befallen him, and the scripture says that he had compassion toward him. Now, this compassion was in his heart. That's where compassion is. This had to do with an attitude. And folks, the way we treat other people is going to be determined by what's in our heart. Now that's a very important lesson, I think, that we learn from the Good Samaritan. What was in the heart of the priest and Levite? They didn't care. They were selfish. What was in the heart of the robbers and thieves? They didn't care. They were just greedy and covetous and wanted what the other fellow had and just forcefully by their power took it. And their attitude was reflected in their behavior. Well, our attitude is also reflected when we do good. And when we have the right kind of attitude toward other people, it will determine our actions and our actions will be proper. You see, the Samaritan had this philosophy. What's mine is yours if you need it. Now, can't you see the tremendous difference between that and the others? What's yours is mine if I can take it. That's one. What's mine is mine and I'll keep it. That's two. But the compassionate attitude is what's mine is yours if you need it. And so he went to the man and he bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine on them. This no doubt was for some medicinal purposes, as well as to soothe him in some way. He put him on his own beast. He carried him to an inn. There he took care of him. When he had to go on his journey, he entrusted the care to the innkeeper. The innkeeper was told, "Why, you take care of him. You pay what has to be paid. I'll be coming back this way. I'll reimburse you with whatever you have spent." Certainly, his attitude was one of sharing, was one of caring. Now, which one was demonstrating the attitude that Christ has shown toward us? Why, the one that gave, the one that shared, the one that said, "What's mine is yours if you need it." You see, Jesus Christ was in heaven with the Father, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was willing to leave those heavenly portals and to come to this earth as a human being, to suffer and to bleed and to die. He gave up heaven and he gave up his life while here upon this earth because he had the disposition of compassion. Even the same disposition as we saw him this morning when he healed the blind man. And the attitude that we're to have is to be like that of Christ. He gave his service to man and in so doing he served God. You know, Jesus said that it's better to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And this should be our disposition. This was the attitude and disposition of the early church. In Acts chapter 4, when we read of people that were in need, people even sold their possessions so that they could acquire sufficient funds to give into the custody of those who had charge of providing for the needy. And they had the attitude of the Good Samaritan. Brethren, the goal of life, of such as we profess to be, Christian people, is to be Christ, of Christ, walking in the footsteps of Christ, as we possibly can know and do. Now let's each of us examine ourselves. There are a lot of characters in this story. The traveler, we're not focusing on him particularly. The robbers, we've taken a look at them. The priest and the Levite, we certainly look upon them. The Good Samaritan, even the innkeeper, he was deserving some commendation. But I just focus on these three attitudes of life, and as I review them and close our lesson tonight, which one do we really imitate? Which attitude do we really have? And do we show that attitude? Is our attitude, "What's yours is mine, if I can take it"? That's so greedy. That's so selfish. That's so covetous. That's so unkind. That's so inconsiderate. That's so brutal. Certainly, that's not like our Lord. The attitude, "What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it," us in sin. What if Christ had been of that disposition toward us? Wherein would we have hope of salvation? Certainly that's not a Christ-like attitude. The Samaritan showed the attitude. Christ told the story, and in so telling, he said, "Now this is that which I commend to you, to have the attitude that's what mine is yours if you need it." And especially as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Brethren, there ought never be any occasion where any brother or sister in Christ is lacking what is needful in this life, physically or spiritually, because their brethren ought to be to their rescue. Isn't that right? We sometimes cast this into what we call benevolent work. It is a benevolent manner, all right, but it's a Christ-like compassion. It reflects an attitude toward what we have. It reflects an attitude toward people. It is a view of life. And if we want to be happy, and if we want to be pleasing to God, we're going to always have that good Samaritan attitude. Isn't that true? Well, the lesson is yours for tonight. I want to remind you as we close that Christ told the man, after he had asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What's written in the law?" There he was referring to the law of Moses, because the law of Moses was still in operation at that time. It's not now, but it was then. And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." Focus just now. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And there is no way to love the Lord thy God, the Father in heaven, without loving his Son. No man can honor the Father without honoring the Son. John 5, verse 23. And the way we can honor the Son, the only way that we can honor the Son, is to be in faith, obedient to his commands. Certainly, Christ is to hear his word and ignore it. We honor Jesus Christ by hearing his word and obeying it. And so tonight, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ in order to have your sins washed away by his blood, you need to obey his commands: faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. If you haven't walked faithfully, you need to obey his commands and show your love and honor by repentance, confession, and prayer. And then, having established that right relationship with God, go forward in life with the Good Samaritan attitude toward what you have and toward other people.